We're just going to have to...
Hi there. Hi, how you doing? No, I had it until moments ago. I had the sound. It was all... This was going to be flawless.
Sure.
Nobody was... Shut your head about... Sure. Nobody was going to notice that we were... Wait, hold on.
Our computer system's down.
The engineers aren't... Oh, there we go. Okay, hold on. So let's...
Crank up that old Victrola.
Hold on, let me... Okay, should we pretend that this...
Let's pretend that didn't happen.
Let's pretend that didn't happen. You play the liner again?
No, I really can't.
It doesn't matter.
Well, okay.
Well, here we are.
The engineers collared me last night, and they said, hey, how do you feel about not being able to play anything off the computer? And I said, well, for how long? And they said, well, how long is your show? And I said, 3 hours. And they said, how long is the show before that? And I said, an hour. And they said, how long is the show before that one? And I said, an hour. And they said, what's that, five? No problem. So apparently there's going to be a solid 5 hours today, of which we are now halfway through, during which we can't, what's the word, play anything, do anything, or make anything operate correctly. So what we're going to do is we're going to roll this in the old school way, as they say. All right, let's all be quiet now. And we're going to... No one knows. All right, okay, ready?
We're broadcasting.
And, okay, and... Oh, for the love of God.
Oh, darn us.
Oh, that was me.
Oh, my God.
It's not my fault. Well, it's entirely my fault. That's what I meant to say. This is exactly the sort of broadcast professionalism that CBS Radio was banking on when they employed the Rick Emerson Show to bring light, spark, hope, and vitality to Johnson 970, a proud part of the CBS Radio family.
We'll have to change the name of the show to, like, Good Afternoon Northwest.
Good Drunken Midday Northwest. It's 1:51 after the hour of 12 in this, the month of April, in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day, live from the plushly appointed and occasionally accurate and occasionally functional studios of Johnson 970. It is the Rick Emerson Show, a proud part of the CBS Radio family, broadcasting from beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. We thank you for your presence and your patronage on this Tuesday. Thank you for coming along, friends and neighbors, boys and girls, Romans and countrymen and all of that. It's 503-733-2970, off to a flying beginning, off to a fantabulous start. 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. You want to email today, by God, you can do that as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com, rick@rickemerson.com. By the way, speaking of email, I should note that the first batch of photos from Listener Party 9, kiss in my ass, are now posted. They're up at rickemerson.com. You go to rickemerson.com. I think they're the most recent blog entry. Something like that. Just look for the chicks kissing. And there's a link right around there. So they are now up. More to be posted as they come. So you got more photos of Listener Party 9. You pass them our way. You send them to rick@rickemerson.com. And we'll get them up. It's 503-733-2970. All right, so... Really, today, it's just... This whole show is going to be rubbing two sticks together, trying to get things to operate properly. Because they're really... We have nothing.
We'll just have to use other sources, like this.
We're going to have to get all of our... We're going to have to get all of our news for Coin 6 today.
You have the mono bed, Rick?
Coming up... Oh, wait, let me... Yes, I can play that. I can play that right now, if I just... With the, it doesn't want to seem to, wait, here we go. Yeah. All right, is there a, there we go. That was flawless. No one noticed. You don't need to hear things segued correctly. This is the production style you are looking for. It's not going to get any better, by the way. This is it, folks. You just acclimate yourself to this standard of broadcast, because that's going to be it for the rest of the day. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up on Coin News 6 at noon, a herd of sea lions gathering at Willamette Falls in Oregon City. Wait, no, hold on. Sea creatures giving Willamette Falls their seal of approval. That's coming up today on Coin News 6 at noon, in case you want to watch that. Anyway, It's 503-733-2970. So everything, you all have to understand something, and I'll talk about what's coming up here in a second. But over the last 10 years, there have been significant advances in broadcast technology. Now to the point where if one capacitor or diode or transistor blows out somewhere, nothing can be played anywhere in the building.
No.
And that's where we are today. It used to be the you have problems, you pull out the CD, you pull out the record, you pull out the tape.
Things used to be run by pulleys and chains.
And actual live human beings in the studio. Those days are past. And so now on a day like today, when they are upgrading the computer software and rebooting everything like 500 times in a row, we have the ability to play almost nothing. So for the remainder of today's program, all of our bumper music is going to be coming off of vinyl that I found laying around my basement this morning. So everything you hear, all the music going into and out of commercial breaks today, is going to be just a crap I pulled off of 45s that were gathering dust in a long-forgotten corner of my basement. So you can be prepared for that.
I hope the sound bites are still there. Already put them in twice.
Oh, probably not. And all everything else, the watches, the themes, Britney news, all that stuff, just going to be played off the fantastic piece of software called Windows Media Player. So prepare for long gaps, skitteriness, things glitching around, warbling, flutter, wow, hiss, pop, glitching. You just get ready for it. It's 503-733-2970. It is Tuesday. And the irony, of course, is today it's like the most packed show in the history of things that are packed. Geek Watch coming up today. Hick Watch coming up today. A double corpse watch. And this one involves, I'm reading this correctly, a petrified fetus. Petrified or mummified, one of the two. Well, whatever. Something that ends in aid, and it's a fetus. And apparently it's some sort of, it was in the trunk, and it's been handed down from one generation to another, and then, like, somebody left it at a subway or something. Britney news coming up today. Florida news. We have the best sexual harassment story you've ever heard. And I don't say that lightly, because we have a lot of those. And it's not about Maury Povich, although we've got new scintillating and, it must be said, disturbing details about that as well. Let's see. Kurt from Super Atomic TV is going to be in the house later on, which is one of those programs that was on, and then it went away before I ever discovered. Like, it was here, and it was popular, and then it was vanished before I even discovered it. And I sort of found out about it after the fact. And I guess it's coming back later this summer, so he's going to be in the studio later on. It's a great show.
On YouTube, no.
Parts
of it.
You can go to RickEmerson.com. We got a link to that. What else? Well, a bunch of other stuff. And somebody sent me this test, which, you know, and I dislike these usually. They're tests in magazines like rate your blank, or how blank are you, or what is your blank blank score? And I normally eschew those. But there's one that's it's some like rate your geek scale or your geek status or geek chic or something. Something that Newsweek is trying to pawn off on us in the guise of being hip. So we'll get to that later on. Your phone calls and et cetera. Like us at 3 World Famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. All of that entertainment begins now. Sarah Dillon is here looking sullen and listless, as she often does. All right. You don't have anything to do today, really. Just to be vivacious and perky.
Sure.
That's it. You couldn't play audio if you wanted to. That's it. You just got big black computer screens in front of you, full of nothing.
It looks like they're rebooting it or something, though.
Today, you're going to have to get by on sheer personality.
Don't you trust it.
Yeah, don't. I've seen that Windows startup screen before. It means nothing.
Pretty soon, pastoral scene?
With that generic backdrop of like glacial ice and like a polar bear holding a daisy or something.
Now, there are a lot of big red X's that keep popping up.
Yeah, and that's right before it says like error 569JJJ3, consult manual. Do you wish to send a report of this error? Which people do. My mom told me that every time her Windows XP freaks out on her, she goes, well, I click that thing that says send a report to Microsoft. I can't imagine why the problem doesn't get any better. It's hard to believe. All right. Well, whatever. Blah, 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 Sarah. Blah, 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 blah. Whatever. All right, Tim Riley's working on the following stories today at the City Desk for you.
It was a witch hunt that destroyed Enron, says Ken Lay.
A woodchuck?
A witch hunt.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, a woodchuck. I will not allow gas prices to rise, promises President Bush.
Okay.
That's right. They'll be held to pay if that happens, trumpets Bill Frist, and Spider-Man gets the girl.
Well, okay, so there you go. I have no idea what any of that means. Doesn't make any sense to me. It's all pops and buzzes and gibberish and blurs to me over here. It doesn't matter. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. So, again, for the duration of today's program, all bumper music coming off vinyl. So be listening for some of your favorites from yesterday and today and all that. If you like to email, it's rick@rickemerson.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'll just cross my fingers. crossing our fingers here. At the City Desk, your personal savior, Tim Riley. Listen to that. That I'm talking about. Tell me I don't know what I'm doing.
When do you know it works? From higher down to the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat, Tim Riley reporting. Well, President Bush is taking action to reduce soaring gas prices. At a speech in Washington, he made a speech. He said the government will make sure nobody, yes, nobody, is inflating gasoline prices.
Wait, he's going to make sure of that right now.
Understand, by and large, that the price of crude oil is going up and that the prices are going up, but what they don't want and will not accept is manipulation of the market. And neither will I.
Who won't accept that?
He won't.
Okay.
He will not accept rising gas prices.
No, it's all right. Okay, is he going to stamp his feet and go to bed and hold his breath until he turns blue?
Well, he says these companies need to reinvest their... You know, I'm not even going to read. I don't even take any of this. Seriously, really.
What's the point? Why would you even bother? Save yourself the oxygen,
well,
friend.
I know it.
I do believe, because it's the only way we can get him on, I think that... Aren't we talking to somebody about gas later on?
Yeah, we might as well.
Is it Roop or is it McCarthy? I think we're talking to somebody about gas. Sarah, let me flail my arms frantically.
Let's talk to somebody about gas.
I booked Gary Baumgarten about that movie United 40 or 93.
Yeah, but then did we book Ed McCarthy about something?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't.
It's all such a blur. It's like you're burying everything in a pile of coffee cans.
It sounded like a big
milk cart. I need to schedule.
All right.
Okay.
I guess you didn't make the call yet.
It's going to be the best show ever. I can hardly wait. Let's dive deeper into it.
Meanwhile, President Bush has directed the Departments of Justice and Energy to find out why prices are soaring at the gas pump.
We just need to make sure that the markets themselves are working, and at the retail level and at the wholesale level, not just the local gas station, that there is absolutely no price gouging.
These statements mean nothing.
No. I mean, the Republicans trying to stay in office for the next election, and you know it's not going to happen. Even those of you with southern accents who caused the most trouble.
These are
your final days.
There was that story the other day about how that hurricane is going to be the end of Republicans. It's not so much the Republicans have had a bad 18 months. It's been a long, hard row for those guys to hoe. And the great fire hose of the American electorate is coming, and you're all going to be blown out on the street, and it's going to be fantastic to watch. So I just, you know, here's the thing, and I mean I don't really dislike Republicans any more than I dislike Democrats. I'm just opposed to whoever's in office. It doesn't matter. I just dislike whoever currently holds the seat. And this time it's Republicans. And the big, mighty, swinging hammer of Thor that is the American 30% voting bloc is coming to blow y'all out.
Well, these gas prices, we have to do something about those. But let's change the subject. Isn't this new unity government in Iraq terrific?
It's a very important moment in the history of a new Iraq. I want to thank the members for their strong support of our diplomatic mission and the United States military, who are engaged in heroic efforts to help this young country succeed.
The new government will all be dead by tomorrow, and new ones will be put in their place.
Sure, it's like heading the Teamsters or something, like back in 1965. It's sort of the most pointless job. Why would you even try? Why would you even take that job?
You get one of the better chairs.
Is that all
the wheels are underneath the chairs.
Is that it? That's like the only way you could get the key to the executive washroom? Mm-hmm. All right.
Hand soap and paper towels.
Okay.
And what about this Iran, says Condoleezza Rice? They just better stop it, whatever they're doing.
Okay.
It's about past behaviors that have convinced the international community that there need to be objective guarantees that this is not going to be a nuclear weapons program, and that means that these technologies cannot be available on Iranian soil.
Whatever you say, lady.
I wasn't even listening. What was she saying?
She's mad at Iran. They're doing all kinds of bad things over there. They're making enriched uranium, which helps build strong bodies 12 ways, apparently.
I was thinking about this the other day. I bet there's Condoleezza Rice porn on the internet. And I don't mean like actual photos of her. But you know what? I was thinking about how every time she appears, she looks like Herman Hesse or something. Mm-hmm. She looks like she should be fronting the Gestapo. And her and those long black leather coats of hers, and then those big ass thigh high CBS radio saleswoman boots that she's wearing. And you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, we do.
Well, Sarah, you went over. Okay, look. Let's just call a spade a spade.
What?
You went over to the CBS radio building with me yesterday, And you've seen what I'm talking about. How it's like some, it's like when you get the job here, they hand you the boots at the door.
They hand you the
brand new phone book.
Yeah.
There are big stacks of phone books everywhere.
That's,
you get the dominatrix boots and a brand new phone book.
It's part of the hiring kit. It's like as soon, I don't know what you get when you're a guy.
Start with A and work your way down.
I guess with, all right, would you like to hear about the exciting programming that CBS Radio has for the, hello? Would you, hello? So I don't.
That's what Trey Yant made me do.
Oh, cold calling?
Intern, yeah, he made me pick up the phone book and just start calling people.
God damn, it's just the worst. It makes you want to kill yourself.
Yeah.
I used to, when I was in Salt Lake, my friend Todd and I would just sit there. We would listen to some of the AEs who were the account executive sales guys who were in the other cubicles.
I'm selling air.
they would have to do these cold calls. And cold calling, literally, which is where you just pick up the phone book, you call, but you have no idea. They don't know your name. You don't know them. They don't want to buy what you're selling. And it really is just, hello, Mr. Rakowski? Hi, Mr. I'm calling about the exciting world of radio hello? No, are you there? Have you ever heard of, hello?
How about some safety spots? Let me read you the copy. STOP is an octagonal sign that tells people to come to complete stop and save your children. You care about children now, don't you? The children of your community?
And you would totally hear him. It was like full-on Glengarry Glenross stuff where he would be getting the names wrong and he'd be over there. Like, this is the, his name was Adam, and he was like this little Hitler Youth Mormon guy. And this is the best cold call I ever heard. And by best, I mean terrible. I mean a big flaming abortion. Where he picks up, like first he screws the guy's name, because I guess it had a Y in it. And then he just, and then like not content just to do that, he just, it just falls apart and blows apart in midair where he calls and the guy answers the phone and he says, this was Adam's side of the phone call, the sales guy. He says, hello, Mr. Smythe? I'm sorry, Mr. Smith? Hello, what? Can I sell you some radio advertising? That's literally the phrase he used. So there you go.
Sure. How many do you got?
What sell me all of it. What were we talking about? Oh, hey, Hellcats and high heels.
Yeah.
So when you get a job in the CBS radio sales department, if you're a man, I think if you're a man, they give you khakis and just like a really bad haircut. I think that's what it is. And if you're a woman.
Who are you? These are the people who are good to
not
us.
Not a bad haircut, but I mean, you know, you get like the one close-cropped sort of white guy fade. You know what I'm talking about? You know
the
that
sales
one.
Guy
the sales
fade.
Guy haircut.
I didn't even know there was a barbershop in here.
No, it's just, you know, just like, yeah. It's
the shoe shiner.
Do you invent it enough?
There was a shoe shiner out there the other day.
Oh, yeah. Did you see that? That big pile of shoes out there?
I did. They sent us the guy by. But
what do the people do? Are they wandering around without shoes here?
Okay, we've gone so far afield. We are now like the three late. My point is, though, that when you're a woman and you get a sales job here, they give you huge boots with which, it's like, you know what it is? It's like those boots you see in porn films where it's like women jumping up and down on guys, like nude men, you know? It's like white men who want to be jumped up and down on by Asian women that are holding floggers.
Attention advertisers, if you too would like to be jumped on by...
I'm not saying that our AEs do that.
Oh. They may be called upon to do so.
Well,
what if it's an annual?
Part of it. What's the only way to get the agency business? It is in the mission statement. Oh, I think we're all... I think we're
or is
all,
it the missionary statement?
Okay. I think there's something wrong with the air in here today. We've all gone wacky. Like, way too... It's because nothing works.
Nah, it doesn't work. Maybe we ought to go out and sell and come back when it's working.
Anyway, my point is I bet there's Condoleezza Rice porn on the internet.
I bet you're correct.
That could have been done in one sentence. You know what this is? This is like some internet thread that I expanded, and I should have left it collapsed. It took like 40 minutes to get back to this one sentence about that. Now here's Tim Riley.
Who remembers the new Pope's name?
Wait, Pope?
There have been 15 of them.
Don't, Benedict.
Benedict.
13th.
No, you're wrong.
16th.
7th.
5.
No, 16th.
2.
16th.
Green. Okay.
16th. There have been 15 before him. Who knows when? They've been around forever. But he is... approving the use of condoms by married couples who are Catholics.
I can't believe what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm. But John Allen, whoever he is, says the church is still opposed to birth control.
John Allen must be a radio employee.
Vatican sources will insist that this does not mark any change in the church's traditional teaching that birth control or contraception is immoral, because they would argue that in this case, the condom is being used not to prevent pregnancy, but to prevent disease.
But you're married.
Yeah.
But for married couples.
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
Well, it's like trying to do something about the price of gasoline.
Go look for consistency from the Catholic Church. You know, whatever. They're too busy trying to burn copies of the Da Vinci Code.
That was cleaned out at Fred Meyer the other day.
This is the worst book. Don't read it.
I tried to, but I couldn't understand it.
This is the worst. It's like reading a big bowl of mushy Wheat Thins.
And not one picture of Leonardo da Vinci in the whole thing.
No, it's just terrible. It's like you read it and you can feel like your brain actually becoming soft and watery.
Really? Because I know some intelligent people who really liked it.
I'm not a highbrow about it. I've read all kinds of pulp in my life. I'm not a snob about what I read. Mm-hmm. It's just so badly written. It's one of those books where everything is like the completely convoluted clues. That's where every two pages, like there's something in code or some guy. The whole book is like one big Rube Goldberg device. Where like something that could have been said simply, like a guy could have left a note saying like, gee, I'm giving away the end of the book now. The Vatican is covering up the fact that Jesus married Mary Magdalene and had a child who is now royal bloodline, you know? And so the royal bloodline is the descendants of Jesus and Mary Magdalene. That's the whole thing. And like, it's that whole thing where at the beginning of the book, a guy could have just left a note saying, like, dear world, like, Jesus married Mary Magdalene and they had a kid and he's like the king of England now or whatever. But no, instead, everything's got to be, you know, everything's got to be done with like a Captain Marvel decoder ring and like the Enigma machine or something. Just don't read it.
Well, if I talk about Spider-Man, does everybody understand that?
Yes.
Okay, well, Tobey Maguire has popped the question to his real-life gal pal over the weekend.
I hate the phrase gal pal more than anything.
Well, the 30-year-old proposed to Jennifer Meyer with a big Tiffany engagement ring, to which he responded, yes. No word on the wedding date. Maguire and Meyer have been dating for 3 years.
Maguire and Meyer?
Yeah, for hire.
I was just going to say, are they going to do a detective show on ABC?
Well, they'll come clean your house.
Really, they've got a fantastic career in like a Kansas morning show somewhere. Mm-hmm. Like if this whole acting thing doesn't work out, Maguire, they have to do country. Mm-hmm. Did Maguire and Meyer in the mornings, man, whatever they're doing next door, they ever decide to make a change?
Wake up, Iowa.
All they need is Mark Franchetti in the room with them. Okay.
Well, the movie is due out in theaters next May.
What movie?
Spider-Man movie. Great.
Right. Okay.
Does that mean this May or next May after that?
You know, the whole this and next really confused me. Do you ever do this when it's like, what is this, April? And like something that happened 6 weeks ago, they'll say last February. And I know technically that's correct, but it just seems wrong.
It's just break now.
This whole thing is becoming like one bad Art Buchwald column.
Do you have the music?
Like becoming a terrible Mike Royko.
Perhaps if we hum.
That can't possibly be CNN calling already.
Yes. No, remember, I forgot to book Ed McCarthy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
way to go.
Are you calling back?
Way to go.
Let's listen in.
No, he's not. Hello?
Hello? Hello? Mr. Watson.
Hello?
Hello? Is this the party to whom I am speaking?
Do you have anything to buy, sell, swap, trade, or give away?
You done, Heckles?
This is the best show ever.
Let's just break for the love of God.
Okay, but let me just tell you one thing. Yes. This is the show where they're going to find out, we're going to find out later that there's a consultant in town in a hotel room taking copious notes. He's going to come in with 3 legal pads full of reasons why they ought to fire us and just go with Mancow. That's going to be it. All right. Hey,
you thought Roth was bad.
All right.
There he is.
Wait, let's listen in.
The Rick Emerson Show. Hey.
It's gripping.
Okay, yes, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
No idea. Okay. What's up?
He talks so fast, it's intimidating.
Okay.
Hey, sir, Rich, how you doing? Ed McCarthy will do that thing for you. Okay, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So we're talking to Ed McCarthy 1:30?
Yeah.
About what?
Gas prices.
Yeah, fantastic. That's excellent. I'm sure we'll have it all figured out. Mm-hmm. All right, ladies and gentlemen, in case you're just joining the Rick Emerson Show, nothing is working today. All the computers have gone dead. We are bereft of any technological advances or assistance today. All music coming off vinyl that I found laying around my house. We'll be back after this. Don't go anywhere. It's 503-733. Wait for the needle drop. All right. Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Show on Johnson 970, a proud part of the CBS radio family. You stay there. I won't stop rocking till I retire. Now we rock the party, it's all correct. All cuts are on time, and rhyme connect. All right, I'm sorry. All right, all the bumps are coming off vinyl today. Hold on. And wait for it. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Oh, damn it, I stepped on it.
What you see is real. Who am I to blame you for doubting what you feel? I was always reaching. You were just a girl I knew. I took for granted the friend I have in
what?
You.
Can you hand me what?
Can you hand me that CNN sheet? Thank you. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland.
Sunday 970.
Oh, don't jinx
the
us.
Brightest spot in the middle of your day.
Don't even say that.
No.
Don't
too
even
close
joke.
To home.
This is that video that I saw on VH1 Classic where it was shot for like $5, and the guy standing in an alley against a brick wall. Looks like every Eddie Money video, and it's all shot in this weird shade of puce. And then he's wearing like jeans, and then like a blue blazer over it, and then like a bad T-shirt, and then with a full-on Billy Ray Cyrus power mullet. It's fantastic. All of our bumper music today just comes out of my vinyl collection at home. I forgot to bring Desiderata though. It's all right. And now it's done. It's 503-733-2970.
You're
it's the
right.
Rick Emerson Show.
Best show ever.
All right. Let's welcome now to the... Oh,
do you have this theme?
Oh, I forgot to back up the CNN themes.
Oh, boy.
That's... Wait, hold on. I'll find something. Wait.
Well, we'll just have to go without.
No, wait, hold on. No. I'll find something here. All right, here we go. This will be our CNN theme today. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Live from New York City, our good friend Gary Baumgarten joining us now from CNN News. How are you, Gary?
Yo, pretty good. How are you?
Well, it's just one of those days, you know.
One of those days. I hear your computers are burping or something, huh?
For that to be the case, they would actually have to be on and operating and working. Here's the thing, is that CBS Radio, full disclosure, I heard for a long time, and I'll say this now, I worked for other companies, I heard a long time horror stories about CBS, and how CBS was a really technologically... It hadn't stepped into even the 20th century yet. Everything I heard was like all their equipment was old and they were still playing everything off cart and they did whatever. And to be fair, I haven't found that to be the case at all. I mean, the everything here was reasonably up to date and modern and whatnot. But of course, the problem then is once they did that, they got rid of all their old equipment. So on a day like today, when the computer system is down, we have nothing. We have nothing and no ability with which to play. Really, I'm one step away from having to play all the show's themes on a kazoo.
Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? Couldn't you use those cart machines today, huh?
Yes. Also, that thing about a stitch in time and the nine and whatever. I saw a cart machine sitting in the back of the production room, so I don't think it actually works at this point. Let's move on to something else. Hey, so I'm curious about this movie, and the reason I ask about this movie, this Flight 93, is that what it's called?
United 93.
United 93. The reason I ask about it is because the irony is that I don't really care about the film. I'm not all that interested in seeing it. Doesn't really have any appeal to me. Yet I read this article in Variety this morning, where they claim that there's all this huge buzz and all of this huge interest, especially in guys, among seeing the film. And it's like, I have registered no discernible or palpable buzz about this movie at all. And it's probably a little different for you being in New York, but it opens at that De Niro Film Festival, right?
Yeah, the Tribeca Film Festival. Yeah. It opens tonight. I think it's gaining a lot of interest because it's a little bit controversial to be discussing this issue so close to the events of September 11th. It's interesting that it's opening here because the Tribeca Film Festival was actually established as an attempt to revitalize Lower Manhattan. And it has pumped a lot of money and excitement into the neighborhood. Tribeca is a neighborhood just north of where the World Trade Center once stood.
Right. So is this movie expected? Is it going to be a big, is it going to be a big draw, or is it going to be one of those things where people because I think my thing about this movie, it's not even, again, that I'm offended by it. It's just, I was reading this article about the, about United 93, which again is about this movie about the flight that went down over Pennsylvania on 9/11, where the passengers supposedly took control and whatever. But
right.
I'm reading the whole story, and the whole thing just kind of gave me this sense of fatigue. It was just sort of like a, you know, like it's just so, like reading the whole thing just made me feel worn out. It's just too soon, I would think.
I think there are a lot of people, especially in Pennsylvania and here in New York and probably in Washington, D.C., who would share that opinion because we lived through it. And I would think that maybe the further away from the actual events you are, it may be easier, a little bit more palatable to see the film. I know that when the trailers were shown in some of the movie houses here, there was a shocked reaction by people that caused in at least one theater the manager to pull the trailers because people were actually crying. It upset them so much to be seeing this. They had gone to the movies not anticipating seeing these kinds of visual images that hit so close to home. On the other hand, the family members who have screened the film, by and large, say that they appreciate the fact that the producers brought them in and took their sensitivities into consideration before releasing it. So I get the sense from talking to some of the family members that the film isn't salacious necessarily, but I still can see where it could evoke some terrible memories for a lot of people.
And it says, when do you know when this opens in the rest of the country? Is this
Friday?
Yeah,
I'm going to actually screen it tomorrow night. I'm not going to get a chance to screen it tonight, although I will be talking to some of the people who go, but I was unable to get in tonight's screening, but I am in a secondary screening tomorrow, so I'll get an idea of what it's like.
Yeah, please.
It's not a chick flick where you take your honey to try to get her in the mood kind of thing at all, you know?
Probably not a feel-good film.
No, not at all.
All right, Gary
Baumgartner. Well, I mean, there may be some feel-good parts to it. I mean, the fact that one can be proud of the actions that Americans took under those circumstances, even, you know, sacrificing their own lives to protect the lives of others. But so that may make you feel a little proud, but it's not going to be the kind of film I don't think that's going to make you go home and
I don't really know that it's going to have like a, that it's a big goes well with a box of goobers.
No,
film.
I don't think so.
All right, Gary Baumgartner, thank you, sir.
See you, buddy.
All right, there you go.
But you can always go see that RV movie with that comedian who played Mrs. Doubtfire, used to be on the sitcom, whatever his name is.
Robin Williams.
I was looking at the, what else opens this weekend. There's, because they said this article in Variety, which I don't have in front of me, but they claimed that there was all of this huge buzz. And I didn't even know it was opening this weekend. I had no clue. But it's the United 93 opens, and then RV, and then that, what is that movie that is Starbucks? Is Akella and the something and the zombie?
I haven't heard that one.
Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
No.
You can't go to a... Every time you walk into a Starbucks, it's plastered over every available inch of anything.
See, that's the difference between Tim and you, is that we don't.
No, I had to go in there. My wife dragged me in, and I tried not to go...
Did you get some coffee cake?
No, I did not. Sons of bitches. Starbucks is one of those things. Have you noticed this? Starbucks is one of those places where even if you make... Like, if you claim you don't want to go, even if you have no interest in spending money at Starbucks, you somehow end up in there like once a week, and I don't even know how that happens. Like, I don't make any conscious decisions. I don't ever remember. At no point during the week.
I think there are so many of them that it's unavoidable that you would stumble into one somewhere.
Every left turn you take, the odds are like 1 in 3 that you're going to be greeted by some chick in a green apron. So at no point during the week do I stop and say to myself, you know what, I'd really like to spend some more money at Starbucks. No, I don't. But then I'll look up, like... Yeah, like at any given point, the odds are about 10%. I will look up and I will find myself in line for reasons unknown to me. But apparently they've tired of foisting bad jazz recordings and like a pseudo country off onto the legions of fat white people who buy coffee there.
Yeah, and Bob Dylan.
That's the thing. And there's all of this stuff that it's now hard to like because it's piped into Starbucks. You know what I mean? It's like you go into a Starbucks and there's that Johnny Cash CD right by the cash register. And you feel like you have to go home and burn your country records. And so now, but they moved on from that. And now the new thing is, it really is appalling that I know and care this much about Starbucks, a place I don't even like to spend any money. And I don't, it should be noted that I do not dislike Starbucks because of some anti-corporate, I hate big companies kind of trendy, let's go smash some windows and pretend that we're rebels kind of ideology. And
no matter what you order, it still tastes the same.
The coffee just tastes like the coffee is ass. I mean, that's it, baby. I can't speak for the coffee drinks. I mean, if you get anything that's slathered with enough sugar, I'm sure that it goes down smoothly. Their coffee, though, it tastes like ground-up tree bark. And to me, anyway, it tastes like vulcanized rubber. And they don't care. They don't advertise.
What's more American than that?
They don't advertise here or anywhere, so I can't imagine that they really care. But every time, there is what I call Starbucks face. And it's when I get suckered into going there, or when there's no coffee here and somebody offers to go, like that Alicia girl, she makes the Starbucks run like 40 times a day, and she'll come back, and like she had like an extra one. She's like, do you want some Starbucks? I have an extra one, sugar. And I said, sure. And I think, and you think it's going to be good? How could it not be good? It costs $9 for a goddamn cup of coffee. It should be the best thing. It should cure cancer. I mean, it really should taste like melted gold. You know? I mean, really, pound for pound, Starbucks coffee costs more than anything else on earth, I think. And yet you drink it, and here's what you do. You drink, and then you go, yeah. And there's just sort of that, it's like when you put down like, I don't know, like you put down that shot of old granddad or something. Yeah, it's just sort of get the weird lemon face going on.
Well, I just killed 30 minutes out of my life. Time to leave.
And I just spent like 40 minutes talking about a thing I don't even care about. Here's Tim Riley.
Let's do not a single, but a double corpse watch.
I'm digging up. Did you hear that smooth firing of the corpse watch open?
I was wondering where it came from.
It's magic. It's just in your head.
I'm resurrecting memories of
that did feel like real radio.
See, because for a moment there was...
Back in the day, as we're running a tight board.
We were just, you know, well, let's not get... Let's.
I remember.
No, hold on.
We're not going to do this.
Write this down so we don't get distracted. I do want to do a whole bit called When I Was a Boy. Yeah. All right, hold on. When I... You know what we need, though, for that is we need some attention to whoever that... I think there's two competing people out there making sound effects for us because, you know, the guy who made this, the guy who made this sound claims to be a different person than the guy who made this. So I believe there's like dueling sound effects creators out there now. All I'm saying is, you know what we need is we need one of those.
Harmonica.
Or the flashback sound, like the... You know, for that episode of the Rick Emerson Show when Tim and I get caught in a walk-in freezer together and we have to reminisce about past shows. And there's that whole, do you remember that time? You know, and it goes back. And then we'll do like a whole segment called When I Was a Boy. Anyway, here's Tim Riley with Corpse Watch.
A 53-year-old German woman who was driving her dead mother across country to save on mortuary transportation costs was fined by police for disturbing a dead person's peace. You're not allowed to transport dead people in your private car, said the police spokesman. The corpse is in the backseat without a seatbelt. Another law broken. Which in this case really didn't matter.
Okay, but of course, everybody, let's test your morning show acumen. Mm-hmm. Let's test your can you be a kooky DJ? What is the glib question that I'm going to ask about transporting a corpse across country in your car? Phone lines are open. It's 503-733-2970. Let's see if you, too, can be an irreverent, witty talk show host with a loyal cult following. 503-733-2970.
Tim, am I supposed to answer?
No, you have to. Let's see if the people can get it. And for extra points, there's a story. What is the story? A woman was hauling a corpse across country. She was her dead
That's
mother's
correct,
body
yeah.
in the backseat. All right. So for extra points, try to come up with what kooky bit we would do afterwards. The logical conclusion of the question. This will be to see if you can be a zany DJ.
Well... A woman who was not identified was charged with violating burial laws and disturbing a dead person's peace. She wanted to bury her mother, who died of natural causes at the age of 90.
Well, all right, there's the term. All right, should I take these or should I?
We're looking for zany jokes.
We don't have Scotty J. All right, I'll just start. I'll do them backward. Yeah. All right, yeah, we don't have a. All right, so okay, hi, who's this? Oh, I'm sorry. That's me. Hold on. Hi, Rick Emerson. Chose this.
Chuck.
Hey, Chuck, how are you?
Not too bad.
All right, sure. All right, so we just had this story about the woman hauling her dead mother's corpse in the car. Let's test your acumen to see if you, too, can be a zany, irreverent radio DJ. What is the glib, irreverent question that needs to be asked in this story?
How much has your friend had to drink?
No, that's funny, though. No, that's good. That's not like mornings on KUFO good. That's like, you know.
Even better is what you're saying.
No, that's like maybe, That's like maybe like midnight to 3 on this station.
Pork Mason Dog Chop kind of stuff.
Yeah, I didn't say that. All right, thank you, sir.
Yep.
All right, there you go. Let's try another one. It's 503-733-2970. Hi, who's this?
Hey, it's Jake.
Jake, how are you? What is the glib, irreverent question you would ask about this story to try to be a zany radio DJ?
I wonder if she used the carpool lane.
Yes, that's exactly it.
Woo!
That's exactly it. Okay, and then for extra points, the logical end game here is that you would actually get somebody from the state on, from like the traffic department, from the police, and ask if it's a ticketable offense. Ask like would she be allowed to do it? There you go. Congratulations, Jake. Should I ever be hit by a bus, clearly you are equipped with the skills to do this radio job with the greatest of efficiency.
We'll be safe now.
Yes. Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
All right, there you go. That's Jake. All right. See, it's honestly just, it really is one step above paint by numbers, kids. All right, here's Tim Riley with the second half of your Corpse Watch. This one's creepy, by the way.
This comes from my own home state of New Hampshire, Dateline Concord.
Life is cheap.
Mm-hmm. A family heirloom is not going over well with police. The mummified body of a baby kept by a Concord, New Hampshire family has drawn attention from investigators. The current keeper of the baby, Charles Peavy, said the tiny mummy has been passed down in his family for many years. Concord police recently got word of the remains and took them for testing. A forensic anthropologist will examine the tiny corpse. Peavy said the mummy belonged to his great-great-uncle, who was born in Ashland, New Hampshire in 1850. The family estimates that the mummy is 90 years old. It was discovered among the uncle's possessions in 1947 in Manchester, New Hampshire. Police said the testing on the corpse will take a month or more.
The question is why would... I mean, I don't know if there's something wrong with people in New Hampshire. That's sort of a Florida thing that's spreading.
Yes.
Somebody gives you a mummified baby. And all this... Probably tell somebody about that sort of a thing. First of all, I would have some serious questions for the guy who originally gave it to you. Mm-hmm. I would like to know the genesis of said mummified baby. By the way, we've got this, Rick. Glib witticism. I've heard of backseat drivers, but never backseat cadavers, says Mark. And then he simply says, Z. All right, there you go. That's there's your corpse watch.
I'm digging up phones. I'm digging up phones. Consuming things that's better left alone. I'm resurrecting memories of
love that's good and gone.
Get a hound at the bank man home.
Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
All right, we spoke of New Hampshire, and now let's head to the southeast corner of this fine country for a look at some Florida news. A Pinellas County man who shot at his son's computer is behind bars. Joseph Lavenderfo is charged with attempted murder for shooting his son's computer. Police say he argued with his son for spending too much time on computer games and fired around. The bullets hit a wall close to where his son was standing, but nobody was injured.
I guess video games do cause violence.
Florida story number two. This comes to us from Green Grove Springs.
And that's where?
Florida.
Excellent.
A woman in a wheelchair who swung knives and a hammer at relatives and police died after being shot by a stun gun. Police tried to talk Emily Marie Delafield, who's 56, into dropping the weapons before they used a taser to subdue her.
It's got everything you need.
Police Chief Robert Musco said Delafield lost consciousness after the electric jolt hit her and later died at Orange Park Medical Center.
Isn't this like the 50th person who's died from a tasing?
Yeah.
Maybe it's not such a good idea to run 50,000 volts through people's bodies.
At least they're not using bullets. Yeah. Two officials involved have been put on administrative leave during the investigation, which is standard procedure. Tasers deliver a 50,000-volt jolt through two barbed darts that can penetrate clothing. About 7,000 of the nation's 18,000 police agencies used them last year, and they were used by police more than 70,000 times. Only 61 people died, though, from these things last year.
It's a pittance.
Taser International officials dispute the claim, saying it linked some deaths to taser use when there was no official conclusion.
You know, every story like this, I realize it really was the divine guiding hand of Providence that kept us from tasing Kyle last year when he offered to let us do it for $50. I look back now, and that's one of those things where you just dodged a bullet and you didn't even realize it at the time. You were just teetering towards a precipice of radio doom. That really is like many, many, many hundreds of notches above tossing turkeys out of a plane.
Alabama. Two NASCAR fans were electrocuted at a campground outside of Tulagiga Speedway when a flagpole they were erecting touched power lines. Apparently, they were trying to put the flank poles back off the lines. And these guys, I guess, are raising flank poles off the ground in support of the drivers that they like. So fans commonly use flank poles to fly flags touting their favorite driver.
Well, okay.
Only this time, it touched something else. Democracy on the march.
Wait, and there we go.
America!
Dateline Seattle, Starbucks is coming to Chinese supermarkets sometime in the future, says
Fantastic.
Chairman Howard Schultz. After a luncheon with Chinese President Hu.
Who?
Hu. Oh, after a luncheon with Chinese President Hu.
Who?
Hu, why consumers could not buy coffee in a grocery store, he said. We have not offered up Starbucks and supermarkets in China, but at some point we will. He didn't say when. The largest coffee chain, Starbucks, sees China as a key market for growth and has more than 200 stores in Hong Kong.
The largest coffee there is just made out of the frozen crystals of dissidents. So the worst part about this is that the people in China think that they're going to get I cannot wait for the luscious taste of America, and then they're going to get Starbucks. You know what I mean? It's like eating coffee made out of coal. All right, are we done there?
Yes.
All right, there's your democracy on the march. As a boy. Fantastic. Rick, this email says, I must say, I'm impressed that you can still spin vinyl and do it on the air. It's amazing considering the state of radio today, which is essentially an iPod connected to a transmitter. Cough, Charlie FM. Cough, cough. Well done, well done. I, for one, look forward to the rest of Retro Radio Day. Tony and the Coup. Okay, I have to say, actually,
yes,
that our sister station, 98.7 KUPL, the biggest hits, the biggest stars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hear me say that positioner correctly. They are actually going to be doing a really cool bit. I'm not doing corporate whoring. Well, I am. But it's because I think it's legitimately cool. I was talking to a guy about playing. Let me tell you about some of the exciting offerings from CBS Radio coming up in fiscal quarter two. I was talking to a guy about vinyl this morning. They're going to be doing this thing. It's one of those radio bits that's great just because of the name, and it's going to be called 145. And every day at 145, they are going to play one vinyl 45. So they're totally going to bring in like a record player, and they'll be playing something off 45 every day. It's fantastic. It's one of those things that you have to do because of the name. Like, as soon as they came up with the name, like 145, it was a fait accompli. They were obligated to do the, you know what I want to see? Speaking of things that you have to do because of the name, I want to see some sort of United 93 snakes on a plane hybrid. You know what I mean? With, you know, the Islamic terrorists, and then Sam Jackson attacks them with snakes. That's a fantastic idea. I would watch that film. There ought to be a whole series of snakes on a plane spin-offs where Sam Jackson just goes and just take it. It doesn't matter. Snakes in a food court, snakes in a mall, all over the world. I was reading the whole article about that today, about how that is the single most anticipated film of the year. We're going to be talking more about that as things progress. Here's Tim Riley, the City Desk.
Well, a Hillsborough man is facing burglary charges after a homeowner allegedly caught him stealing wire from a home. The homeowner was checking Sunday morning at a project at Northwest 313th in Milne when he discovered Charles Wayne Osman in the rafters.
You don't want to have a guy named Charles Wayne in your rafters.
Police say Osman was cutting out the interior wiring, allegedly planning to sell the metal to a recycling company. And look at the look of shame on his face.
Hey, it's Rob from the House of Rick.
That's who I thought it was.
It looks exactly like him.
Well, sure he has more important things to do. Let's see. Listen to this. Enron Corporation was a victim of a witch hunt that unfairly criticized the giant energy company's business and drove it toward bankruptcy, says Kenny Lay.
Okay.
On the second day on the witness stand, Lay told the jury that in October 2001, the Wall Street Journal had reported that Enron had engaged in dubious deals. We thought the fact that Wall Street Journal was talking about this, well, they threw us into a witch hunt, said Lay under questioning from his lawyer, George Max Seacrest.
What do you say?
So he's on trial with Jeffrey Skilling on charges they hid from investors the decaying financial state of the company, which once was the seventh largest in the United States.
Fantastic. Rick, what is Redland? Where is that?
Redland, that's on the way to Bend.
Is it by Oregon City?
Oh, it's further down.
All right. Rick, I want to start off by saying it is so great to have you back on the air. It was not the same without you. Redland is a small town. Yeah, okay, past Oregon City. There is a local watering hole where a bunch of people meet every day. You'll be honored to know your show is one of our everyday conversations. And then on March 13th, 2006, we at Redland had an almost packed bar to listen to your first show back. How great is that?
No way. Cool.
It is the place where everybody knows your name, apparently. We spread the word on a daily basis and hardly ever miss the show. Hope to have some good stories for you in the future. Thanks again for all the entertainment. Signed, the town of Redland.
How about that? Maybe we'll get a key to the city.
We should totally push.
That should be one of our field trips.
That should totally be one of our field trips. I'm right there with you.
Yep.
I was thinking about this yesterday, I'm serious about this whole field trip thing, because we were talking about sewage and cesspools yesterday. Mm-hmm. I'm convinced.
But not about Redland in that way.
No, not that Redland is a cesspool. But I was saying that was the great thing when you were in school, is they would take you on field trips. And so we got to do a whole series of field, okay, I'm going to write this down. Field trips. I got to talk about this later.
Down at Redmond's.
Field trips. All right, we'll get back to it. Let's do one more and then we'll break here.
Alrighty. Legendary actor Al Pacino has joined the all-star cast of Ocean's 13. Variety reports the Oscar winner, who turned 66 today, will play a casino owner in the third edition of the film franchise. Ocean's 11 and 12 star George Clooney, Matt Damon, Brad Pitt, and Andy Garcia. They've also agreed to reprise their roles. Actress Ellen Barkin will be the new leading lady. Ocean's 13, set to begin filming July 21st. Ocean's 11 and Ocean's 12 together earn more than $300 million at the U.S. box office.
Ellen Barkin. Wait, which one is she?
I'm not sure.
Who is Ellen Barkin? Why? Because I'm getting her confused like five other Ellens in my head.
She's an actress, right?
Yeah. Well, I would hope so.
Blonde, like beaky actress.
Blonde, beaky actress.
Yeah.
Blonde, beaky actress.
There's just silence.
The blonde.
No, I'm trying to picture
beaky.
Where she's from.
Finger on the pop culture pulse. Ellen Barkin. What has she been in that I would have known?
I don't know.
Maybe somebody in Redmond would know.
Maybe somebody out there in Radio Land. Here's the problem is, when you're saying Ellen Barkin, for some reason in my head, I'm just getting a picture of Elaine Boozler. And yeah, I know that's not right. Okay. Well, whatever. So whoever she is, she's going to be in the...
She's got a big spot in that movie.
Doesn't Ellen Barkin sound like a garbage pail kid? Like from Days of Yore, and it would just be some dog-faced woman?
I keep confusing her with Alan Barkin.
Probably. Or Alan Arkin.
Yeah.
That would be one of those, that's one of those Art Ferns Tea Time movies thing. Alan Barkin, Alan Arkin, Alan Barkin, Barkin Arkin. All right, let's, hold on. Let's solve this and then we'll go to the break. Worst show ever. Hi, Rick Emerson Show, who's this?
Hey, this is Paul in Portland. Alan Barkin starred with Al Pacino in a movie called Sea of Love.
Oh, okay, yeah, I know who that is. Okay,
I
yeah.
I know who that is.
All right, thank you, sir. All right, there you go. Hey, look at that. You ask, you receive.
It's as simple as that.
All right, here's what's coming up in the, coming up today. Inexplicably, we're going to do another 2 hours of today's program without any computers or technical abilities or really the wherewithal to play much of anything at all.
It can be done.
It can be done. So here's what's coming up. We'll go to the news pile later on. We'll have more from the city desk. We'll take this geek test. We're going to talk to Ed McCarthy from CNN Radio. We're going to talk to Kurt Lloyd from Super Atomic Television. And don't forget, all music today coming off the vinyl that I found scattered around my basement this morning. It's the Rick Emerson Show right here on Johnson 970, a proud part of the CBS Radio. There you go. CBS Radio family. It's 503-733-2. 970. What?
Is this Rhythm Nation?
You got a problem with Rhythm Nation?
Oh, boy.
This is the greatest of all Janet Jackson records. I would argue, let me just say this. I would argue that Rhythm Nation, 1814, is not only the greatest Janet Jackson album, I would argue it's the single greatest record put out by any member of the Jackson family ever. Better than Thriller. I'd say it's better than Off the Wall. It's a fantastic record. You're all going to eat it if you don't like it. All right, back after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show at Johnson 970.